Okay. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. And this is Kevin. I want to switch our attention from macronutrients to exercise. And I kind of want to do it more specifically focused on the bigger framework and then building muscle mass for now in terms of strength training. And then we're going to do cardio, zone 2, VO2 max next, hopefully, right? So in terms of exercising, that is what Peter Attia recommended the most, is to actually have exercise as a powerful longevity drug, right? And then in the US, this is a stat that's very, very surprising for me, is 77% of the US population does not exercise. Let me repeat, 77% of the US population does not exercise, right? And that is something that I've actually been start doing like a couple years ago or a few years ago now, where need to focus on, building muscle mass and then trying to have a good muscle mass reserve before I started to age and then, decrease on muscle mass, right? To maintain and then go a little bit more above and beyond. So in terms of exercise, there's different things to kind of like categorize it, right? One is cardio fitness, right? And the other one is muscle mass. And that's pretty much the two big categories, right? So cardio fitness means, on a very high level, on a biological level, is how effective your body can deliver oxygen to your muscle. And how effective can your muscle use that oxygen, right? And then there are a couple of ways of like doing it, right? The primary measurement method is measuring the thing called VO2 max, which we're going to probably do like a separate episode on that. So what exactly is VO2 max? It's the rate a person can utilize oxygen. So the higher the VO2 max, the more oxygen the body can utilize, right? In a sense, the faster that I can run. So this will be very, very prevalent in, say, endurance athlete, right? If you're running a marathon, if you're a competitive, a skier, those are the things you want to get very, very good at. An average 45-year-old man, according to the book, their VO2 max is usually 40 milligrams per kilograms per minute. Let me repeat that. An average 45-year man, their VO2 max is on average 40 milligrams of oxygen per kilogram per minute. So elite athlete around that age is usually at 60 plus. If you are unfit, 30-year-old, is usually in the 20s, right? If you are the very competitive Tour de France, like the biking person, the biking athlete, you are usually in the high 70s and in the low 80s for VO2 max. So what does that mean, right? So the higher the VO2 max, it has historically related to lowest mortality rate. So let's say you don't exercise, right? Let's say you're the least fit 25% of your population, of your age group, in terms of VO2 max, you are essentially four times more likely to die compared to the top 2%, right? So VO2 max is something that can be easily trained through intense exercise, through different regimens that involve no equipment as well, right? So that's something that we should be talking about, is cardio fitness. Muscle mass is very interesting as well. Here's the thing, right? Is big muscle, aesthetically, it's not equal to muscle strength. I'm not trying to brag here, like this is an audio podcast, but there are times where I go to the gym and then I saw this guy, let's say doing similar exercise than I am, and then I was peeking at the at the weight pin, right? How much are you lifting? Way bigger than me, but we're kind of doing the same thing, right? So I don't know if that's a fluke, or maybe that my muscle mass or my muscle strength is there, but I don't look particularly very buff, as you may say, right? So we really need muscle mass to have stronger muscle, right? We need the volume to be there. So that, like, that's a trade-off is, you know, like he said something and I quote, even if exercise shorten your life by 1 year, let's say you are supposed to live till, I don't know, 78, and then exercising, you know, like because of the body movement, it shorten your lifespan by 1 year, say you are going to live till 77, the benefit to your quality of life will be worth it. That's kind of how he puts it, which I think is very interesting, right? So on a very high level, for us to improve health span, for us to kind of reverse or delay aging, here are the four things relates to that whole process, right? One is, as you age, your cardio fitness declines. Secondly is, you lose strength and you lose muscle mass. Thirdly is, your bone becomes more fragile. Lastly is, your joint stiffens as you age. So by the age of 80, the average person will lose about 8 kilograms, or that's 20 pounds, 18 pounds of muscle from their peak of their physique, right? So what that means is they're probably losing, I want to say, close to half of their muscle mass, if not even more, right? And with exercise, we can brought that down to 3 to 4 kilograms, which is, I don't know, 10 pounds roughly, right? So that's a very, very big improvement. And when people are weaker, they tend to be less active. When they're less active, they become more weak. And that's kind of like a progressive, you know, downhill or downward a spiral from that point on, right? I have personal relative that, you know, my grandparents are aging very, very poorly. And then towards the end of their life, they cannot do anything. Like it makes it harder for them to even walk, right? They needed to do a walker. And then even that is making it very hard for them to do that as well, right? So most seniors, at least in the US, have the least amount of muscle mass. And when they have that, they have the greatest chance of dying, right? Because muscle actually help you to survive old age. That's something that's very, very interesting. So the goal here is not to exercise just to check the box. Oh yeah, I exercised today. The goal here is to kind of figure out a goal, and then with that goal, help you to decide what exercise you want. And that's the one thing that I really appreciate about Peter. You know, like if you've been listening to this series, you know, he's able to categorize different functions or different concepts very, 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 very well. And then, you know, that's the strategy level, right? And then develop tactics to reach there, right? So he have this thing called the centenarian principle, or the centenarian athlete. And then whenever he admits a new, quote unquote, his longevity patient, he have a list for them, and then you have to pick what they want to do, right? For example, like they have a list right there, here's what I pick, right? That's my personal pick. Pick up grandchildren, put 20 pounds on a carry-on, and then I can lift it up to the overhead bin. Able to do a 1 mile hike, and able to carry groceries and walk for a while, right? But that's my plan, right? You gotta think about what's your plan. And when you have that plan, then you're working out with a purpose, which help you to sustain it longer term. So like another wrinkle here is, say if you want to, I don't know, lift a 20 pounds of a overhead bin into the airplane at age 75, you probably need to be able to constantly able to lift 40, 50 pounds when you're middle age. If you cannot do that, you cannot do that when you're 75 as well, right? So that's something that people should be more mindful of. And I want to kind of lean this podcast on this particular episode more on the muscle strength building, because I want to do a very specific episode for cardio. So let's take a step back, right? Typically, muscle mass begins to decline when we are hitting as early as 30 years old, right? On average, an 80-year-old man have 40% less muscle compared to when they're 25. So as we start aging, we actually lose muscle strength 2 to 3 times faster than we lose muscle mass. So what that means is, you might still have the mass, like you might still have the volume there, but you probably don't have the strength to back it up, right? So in a sense, we lost power in our muscles. And say, I don't know, for someone that has been on bed rest, right? On average, if you've been on 10 days of bed rest, you lose 3.3 pounds of muscle. That's just shocking. That's why I wrote it down. Let me repeat that. If you're on bed rest for 10 days, you lose 3.3 pounds of muscle. So that's a very, very a scary fact right there, right? And then on the other hand, you also lose bone density as well, right, as you age. So the primary bone density focus point here should be hips, lumbar, and spine. And our bone density probably peaked around late 20s and then been on this a slowly and a steady decline, right? For women, the decline is much quicker after a menopause as well. So that's why in the US, and here's a very frightening stats as well, 1 in 3 people over 65 will have a fractured hip and they will be dead within a year. Let me repeat that. Up to 1 in 3 people who are over 65 will suffer a fracture in their hip or in other bone area. And when they do that, or when that happened to them, they'll be dead within a year. And that just very, very, very frightening. And if you live longer than a year, there's going to be other bad things happen to you, like, you know, extended period of bed rest, things in that nature. So how do we kind of counter that? How do we reverse that, right? Say if you're middle age, how do we reverse the loss of bone density? First of all, is optimize nutrition, right? Protein intake, bump it up. Secondly is we want to do heavy load bearing training. I actually started doing this about a month ago. It's called rucking. So essentially the idea here is as we go into the modern age, right, as Homo sapiens, as humans learn to live in cities, learn to have like transportation tools like cars, we don't carry a lot of stuff anymore, right? Like prehistorically, when we are hunters and gatherers, whenever we say hunt like an ox or some kind of a wildlife, we need to carry it back to the camp for people to eat it, right? So we don't do that anymore. So rucking gave you like, you know, 20 pound weight, put in your backpack, and then you go on a walk, things in that nature. So we need a heavy load bearing training for our body, for like in a sense to assimilate growth in bone, telling body to lay down some more fundamentals, and then the bone become stronger, right? Or we can talk about is a hormone replacement therapy. I'm not gonna get into details on this podcast, but you can go look it up if you're interested. HRT, and then there are drugs that influence bone density as well, right? So the way to like think about building strength as a part of an exercise regime, Peter uses analogy, which I think is very, very fitting, is a strength training. You should think about it as a retirement savings account, right? In the US, as the 401k or IRAs, right? It's cumulative and it builds on as time goes by, it compounds as time goes by, right? It doesn't really matter, how big my chest are or how big my bicep are. What really matters is how much heavy stuff we can carry, right? And that will be something that is very, very good for increasing muscle strength and also reversing bone density loss as well. So like I said, I started doing rucking about a month ago after finishing up this book, and then it was very tiring, right? I'm currently rucking with a 20 pound weight right now. And I thought it would be a cakewalk. No, it's not. So I keep it posted on that front as well. So I think I want to end this podcast on this kind of four fundamentals of strength note right here. So think about strength. There are four different ways of thinking about it. One is grip strength. kind of like the strength that you have to carrying like heavy groceries, right? How hard can you grip with your hand actually correlates to your longevity, which is very, very interesting, right? There's a different exercising thing, right? Like a little hand gripper you can buy on like Amazon very, very cheaply, right? Or you can do like a hand bar. So that's very interesting. So grip strength is number one fundamental. Number two is called concentric or eccentric loading for all movement. So concentric meaning that your muscles are shortening. Eccentric meaning your muscles are lengthening, right? So an example of that is if you're going uphill, you are doing concentric movement. Your muscles are shortening. If you're going downhill, your muscles are lengthening, which is eccentric, right? So like that's why we need to carry weight up and down toward those two muscles. Number three is pulling motions, like a rowing machine. Number four is hip hinging movement, like say, get out of the chair, right? We need to do a squat and deadlift, bending the knees and hip without a problem, right? Not to fall down. So those are the four fundamentals of strength training. There is a lot of workout material out there, but if you're planning your own personal workout, I'll probably focus on one of these four things. For me personally, I just started rucking. That's my kind of the take home message for everybody. And then like Peter, I actually recommend that you want to go as a very experienced trainer or personal trainer if you can get one to show you how it's done. And that's very, very beneficial. And there's, of course, there's videos online and things in that nature as well. So that is a strength training and exercise in general. And then next one we're going to talk about is cardio and VO2 stuff. So thank you for listening. And then see you on the next one.